Well, we begin in this month of December, headed toward that day that we call Christmas Day. It is understood that we are not certain of the exact day that Jesus was born. But it does no harm that out of history, the church finally took this particular day to observe his birth. Because the question could honestly be raised, does it matter what day he was born? Does that change who he was? Does that make redemption any different? I suggest not. You know, if I were to learn somehow through the records of the what's kept with the birth of people in this nation that I actually wasn't born on April 6th, it just absolutely wouldn't make a bit of difference. It doesn't mean I'm not born, and it doesn't mean I hadn't caused my parents grief growing up. And it doesn't mean that I'm any less aggravating to Beth and the children. It just means that we don't know for sure, should that be the case. But you know, Christmas is not as accepted among a Christian, or has not been as accepted among Christian people in its observance as we might realize in the history of the church. The holiday itself is not really the issue. And observing the holiday is not necessarily a question of right or wrong. But I suggest to you that how we choose to observe Christmas is the central issue. Tonight I want to talk to you on the subject of staying on track at Christmas. Some of us feel that beyond the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, preacher we have record of is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. If Mr. Spurgeon were alive tonight and came to the Morningside Baptist Church, he would not be pleased with what he sees in this room. He would not like these wreaths. He would not like these lights. He would be quick to tell us that we are not commanded in Scripture to celebrate his birth. And to be very honest, there are a lot of things that we do at Christmas out of tradition. I, for one, don't feel that the parts that I will refer to do any damage to the day, nor do I feel they do any hurt to the cause of Christ. You will hear we preachers talk about Jesus being born in a barn. Well, we're not sure that he was born in what comes to our minds as a wood structure. That's what comes to my mind. That's what a barn was where I grew up. It was a wood structure. That place where cattle would have been kept, or a stable would have been, could have been hewn out of a rock like at the opening of a cave. Could have been. The feeding trough may have been something hewn from rock and not made of wood. When we consider the things that we have kind of, by tradition, added to the story to make for a wonderful production, I don't find that that changes the message or the person of Christ. Does anybody really care whether it was the opening of a cave or a wood structure? I would say, as my older people would say when I grew up, that doesn't affect the price of eggs in Europe at all, does it? I mean, that just doesn't have anything to do with the story. The story is that Jesus is God's holy Son, and that he was virgin born, and that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and that this Jesus that was born was indeed the Son of God, and that he came to this earth for the purpose of living a perfect life and fulfilling the law of God and laying that law, or laying that life down as a substitute, having lived perfectly what you and I would only do imperfectly. We are law violators. We are lawless. He is indeed the lawful perfect one. And tonight, as we look at a verse of Scripture, I want to call your attention to, or two verses, I want us to think of what this verse or these two verses have to say out of the book of Romans chapter 14. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, I want to read verses 5 and 6. And I want us to talk about being certain before we argue the finer points of the holiday and of how some choose and others choose not to observe it, let's be sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. In Romans 14, I want to begin reading in verse 5. If you're ready for that, would you say amen? Amen. One man esteemeth one day above another. So one man will distinguish and decide one day above another. He says another, meaning another man, esteems, that is, he distinguishes and decides that every day is alike. Let every man be fully persuaded. Let him be fully assured. Let him be fully convinced in his own mind. He that regardeth, that is, he that observes because he thinks it ought to be the day, regards it or observes it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day, he doesn't observe the day, to the Lord he does not regard or observe it, the day. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eats not and gives God thanks. There are those people who have felt in even Christianity that certain foods we ought not eat. Sometimes it's easy for Christian people to reach back into the Old Testament and out of the commands of the Old Testament, parts of the Levitical law. We like to pick and choose to do certain things and not do other things. And I guess to be completely transparent, I've always wondered about people that wouldn't eat certain foods. And they base that on the Bible. How do we deal with Paul's words that everything is made clean through the word and prayer? How do we deal with that? I've also wondered when we go back into the Levitical law and there's certain things that we just think, that we just ought not do that. What about that part that's also just as valid as that or is a part of that Levitical system, but you don't want to do that? I mean, how are we going to deal with that? I've had people, you know, in Baptist churches, and I may be about to walk out somewhere where angels dare to tread. I've had folks in Baptist churches say, you know, I just don't believe women ought to be wearing pants because that's what the Old Testament teaches. Well, do you ever go out and enjoy you some catfish and shrimp and oysters? Now, folks, if you're going to go that other route, you need to keep it all or don't keep any of it. You see, we get our practice out of the New Testament. We are New Testament Christians. We're not Old Testament Christians. In the Old Testament, that's called Judaism. And there are people who supposedly were keeping the law, and like you and I who seek to keep the law, and certainly trust in and thank God for the Ten Commandments, we also quickly acknowledge that we too violate the law. So we are law violators. So what are we going to do with these certain foods that people don't want to eat and certain days they don't want to celebrate? How are we going to deal with that? Well, Paul said, now here's what you need to keep in mind. Be very careful because there'll be some who will just esteem one day above another. And if you've got somebody that esteems one day above another, let that person be fully persuaded of that in his heart. Let it be a heart conviction, something in his own mind. And let the one that observes it do that because he's doing that for the Lord. And let the one that doesn't do it, one that observes or regards not the day, to the Lord, he said, he does not observe it. I believe that guy says, I believe I'm not observing it. I believe that's what the Lord would want me to do. There might be some people that believes that if you decorate a Christmas tree and you go to this parade that Brother John is talking about going to, I just don't think that's the main thing and that bothers me. Well, Paul is trying to say, can we say that this is not a top-tier issue? And may we be able to say to those that want to go to parades and decorate trees as we know it, God bless you. And if there's somebody that doesn't want to do that, can we say back to them, well, God bless you? Because those things are not the primary things. So we want to stay on track at Christmas. And then let's all be honest about a number of things. Is it possible that a Christian in his or her personal life can get out of balance? Yes. We probably tonight, if we've been walking with the Lord any length of time, you know, there's an old saying that he has more heat than he has light. That's a saying that means he or she has more passion than they have understanding. And the more you grow in grace and learn what the Bible teaches, the passion is kind of pulled back just a little bit on things that are not top-tier issues. And we say, well, that's okay, as long as there's not a substitute being made for the real thing. Now, your pastor, for instance, I'm not bothered with Santa Claus in town and anywhere else. I grew up in a church that brought Santa Claus in on the Sunday night before Christmas. Everybody had drawn names in Sunday school. Gifts were everywhere. Santa Claus came into the church and they passed out gifts. I grew up under that thought and that system. I'm just speaking my heart. I don't much care for that. Let me tell you why. If you want Santa Claus, you got that out in town anywhere you want it. I don't believe the main message of the Christian church, and I'm talking about the church that follows Christ, is the message of Santa Claus. I believe the main message is the message of Jesus. Have you noticed, folks, that they generally don't want our manger scenes on the courthouse square? Have you noticed that? And I mean this not to be tacky or sarcastic, but folks, since they don't want our true message on the courthouse square, I don't particularly want their Santa Claus at the house of God. And again, I'm not bothered that he's out there. If he comes to your house and messes with your children, gives them candy, just try to keep them being diabetic is all I would say. And one day as they grow older, they're going to understand a lot of things they don't understand as kids. And put a proper perspective on that and stay on track. And then though this was not part of the message exactly, this would be a good principle for all of us. And I'll get off of Christmas and I'll just deal with the tooth fairy. Did you know that a time or two in my young life as a child, did you know that the tooth fairy came to see Brother Wayne? Yeah, he lost a tooth and put it under his pillow. And the next morning, there was a quarter there. Folks, do you realize in my day, I never saw anything but nickels? I mean, if I could have as a kid, I'd have pulled every one of my teeth for 25 cents a piece. I'll just tell you that right now. But in time, what did Brother Wayne learn about the tooth fairy? Would it have been real serious, though, if Mom and Dad had continued to teach me going into my teens? I don't care what them people tell you, the tooth fairy is real. That's out of balance, wouldn't you agree? Now, with that said, what are we going to do if we are mature believers to stay on track at Christmas? Number one, and don't write this down. Let me just make this as a concluding introductory statement. Don't be throwing stones at people that don't do it like you do. Folks, if we're mature in what we're doing, why do we want to spend our time criticizing people that don't do it like we do it? So let's be more mature than that. Because we've all agreed that ain't the main thing. We know who is the main thing, and his name is Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I just believe they're not giving him the emphasis he deserves. They may not, and there could have been a day when you were a young Christian, you didn't give him the attention he deserves. So don't expect them to come instantly where you've been a lifetime coming. Amen? So now, what are we going to do? Number one, we're going to establish the interest of the Lord as primary. Whether you observe the day or not, we all ought to want to do this. Establish the interest of the Lord as the primary thing. Is that fair enough that we all, and whatever we do, observe or not observe, we do want to give the Lord the primary emphasis, correct? All right. Number two. Keep traditions. If you are a traditional person and like traditions, then create or keep traditions that encourage spiritual growth and discontinue activities that will strengthen your carnal nature. You don't want to do anything to strengthen your carnal nature. Can I tell you, growing up, now places where I worked didn't do this, But would anybody want to take a wild guess what people gave at Christmas time that I wouldn't recommend anybody giving who's a Christian? Hard liquor. A fifth of whiskey. I'll just use that because I don't think that would apply to any believer in this room. But why in heaven's name, if Jesus is going to get the primary interest, why would I have as one of my traditions that at Christmas time we're going to do something with alcohol that my kids wouldn't see, know anything about, even my spouse wouldn't see me do, but we're just going to kind of take one night at Christmas and we're going to tie one on. Folks, that's as dumb as dirt. So we want to be sure and keep traditions that will strengthen our spiritual man and won't give strength our carnal man. You know what I found out about my carnal man? My carnal man reminds me of when we grew a garden. You know what we had to constantly do? We fertilized all the crop trying to get it to grow and kept water on it. But them stupid weeds, they would grow without any help. And folks, the carnal man is like the weeds in a garden. It's going to grow without your help. So don't be doing anything to help the weeds grow in your heart. The devil will see to it that the people where you work will have enough said and done of a carnal nature that would strengthen your carnal man. And we don't want to strengthen it. We want to diminish it. We want to strengthen the spiritual man. Good enough? Number three. Don't have a meltdown when your traditions, even good ones, can no longer be continued. There's a strong possibility if Beth and I live long enough, we're going to experience our first Christmas at some point in some type of nursing or assisted living facility. Strong possibility of that. Folks, we can't both stay here till we're 100 years old and get out in the yard and keep passing football and doing stuff like that. You diminish as you keep living. Paul said the outward man is perishing. He said these bodies are dissolving. And one of these days, there's going to be an irregular heartbeat or some other symptom, and the doctor's going to check me and maybe check you, and they're going to say, we found something that we need to study further. And that we're going to find that now I have a problem that I've never had before. That's called death at work in our physical bodies. And I can't keep all the traditions I've ever known in all these years. At some point, you can't spend Christmas with the folks you've always spent Christmas with. And I do want to say this to all of us, to the chagrin of all of us, or maybe to the hurt of all of us. Our kids don't think as much of our traditions, nor have they ever, as we do. I hate to tell you, the heirlooms that you think so much of that belonged to Aunt Sis and Maud, y'all remember those things you keep back yonder on the in the china hutch or in the curio cabinet? They wasn't even born when Aunt Sis and Aunt Maud lived. They don't even know who you're talking about. And if they don't keep copious notes when you're dead and gone, all they're going to remember is that that was Aunt Sis's, and they don't even remember who Aunt Sis was, because come to find out, it was your great aunt. It wasn't even your aunt. It was your great aunt. And folks, when you came along in life as late as I didn't know a ton of my family, even first cousins. That's too old to know. Time I got grown enough to realize something, that's mostly dead. So be very careful that you don't make sacred things that your kids have no way of identifying with. I remember saying to my mama one day, and I referred to her daddy as my mother was an O'Bar. Yeah, that's Irish. That may explain a lot. And I referred to her daddy, and I used in the sentence, Mr. O'Bar, and she kind of grinned. She said, son, you can't call him granddaddy, can you? I said, well, I could, but mama, he really wasn't my granddaddy. And she looked at me somewhat startled. I said, you have to realize I didn't know him. He died when you was 18 years old. I was born when you was 43 years old. This is somebody out of history. This is not anybody that was, in my experience, directly related to me. And I wasn't trying to disclaim my granddaddy. I look forward to meeting him in heaven one day. But that's the detachment I'm trying to help us understand. And as long as you understand that even in things we love, are you listening to me? Even in things we love, we cannot hold tightly. Do you understand on the law of averages, Beth is either going to walk to my grave or I got to walk to hers? And God knows I love that girl, but there will come a time I may have to let go. You hear me talking? That's in the plan of God. The only thing and the only one you want to hold on to with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the Lord Jesus. Because things at last are found and made so through Him. And you talk about a tradition, we're going to have one when from every tribe, tongue, and race of people we are surrounded around that glorious throne. So don't melt down if Junior and Sissy don't get to come this Christmas. Now, kids, I got this mentioned the other day because I alluded to this in a message. I understand we got kids who are already making plans for new traditions that mom and dad have to be a part of. Now, kids, just as much as it'd be wrong for mom and dad to make you continue theirs, you can't make them start yours. If they got the health and the want to, hallelujah. But when one set of parents lives at Hayhira and one at Lake Park, that's not a big deal. But when one lives in Atlanta or in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the other lives in Miami, Florida, it's hard to get to both homes on Thanksgiving Day. Y'all get the drift? So we got to be a little bit reasonable here. Otherwise, the holidays become anything but holy days, and they end up stressing us and causing our carnal man to live in, to frustrate us rather than be happy in Jesus. Number four, be prepared to discreetly witness to your family and friends. Wherever you're going to be on these special days, use discretion. When I say discreetly, don't act like you've been called, you know, to be an evangelist and now this is your first opening crusade and you go in with a family-sized Bible and these heathens that's been in your family, you think it's time somebody preached to them. Well, they'll throw you out there on your head and they probably ought to. So what you've got to do is be prepared to discreetly witness to your family and friends. Folks, if we study the life of Jesus, you know what he never did? He did not push his way around into people. Let the fullness of who he is give into your heart and soul a divine magnetism, and sometimes, full of him, God the Holy Spirit will give you opportunities that you wouldn't have if you did not use discretion. So be prepared to discreetly witness to your family and friends. You say, well, Pastor, I got one in my family I wouldn't open my mouth to because you don't understand what he or she might do. You may say that he or she is on drugs and there's no telling how high they will be. You let God worry about that and you be prepared. If God gives opportunity, you be prepared to discreetly say a word about Christ. You don't have to say anything to rebuke them, but you can talk about what Christ, how he continues to change your life and what he means to you. Number five, ask the Lord to open doors of opportunity. Have you thought about, as you go around doing your shopping, have you thought about when you fill up your car with gasoline, have you thought about when you go have your hair either fixed or found, depending on how much is up there? Have you thought about that person that's helping you in the retail market may be somebody that's had a very tough day? I was waiting on somebody the other day, my turn, and the person in front of me was having a bad day. And boy, they let the person who was waiting on us or who would be waiting on me kind of have it with both barrels. And so I walked up and smiled and I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry, I heard that. I wanted to say I'd have heard that if I'd have been behind the building, but I didn't say that. And so she kind of smiled and said, whew. I said, well, when you folks deal with the general public, you're on the front lines. God bless you. Try your best to keep a good attitude. And these are the type of people that's in the world. Maybe we can all learn how to be a blessing to those type of people. use whatever means you can as a door of opportunity to say something about the Lord that might lift that person. I know I said to one on one occasion, you handled that well. They may need a word of encouragement. Folks, there's not a lot of people in life to encourage you. A lot of people in life to pull you down, but not a whole lot to pull you up. Why don't you decide you're going to be one of those that pulls people up? Number six, determined to make Christmas, the Christmas time, a time for spiritual growth. You say, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, I tell you how I would do it. I would just say to the Lord each morning, now, Lord, I know that we've entered a season where people are bouncing off every wall, parents are under pressure to buy stuff for their kids, some of them under the most pressure don't understand some things that you've taught me through the years of that it's going to be all right, that there's going to be another Christmas, so we won't need this one. I mean, it's just not like all of life's going to stop. You know, folks, sometimes we even have this idea, well, Lord, I don't want my kids disappointed. I don't want my grandkids disappointed. Well, I don't know of anybody with a heart that wanted to just deliberately try to disappoint their kids or grandkids. And, yes, I want every child to have something for Christmas. I really do. But let me tell you something. Today we're talking about Xboxes, and we're talking about stuff that I don't even know what is. I walk down an aisle looking at electronics, and I think, man, what is that? How do they play with that? What is that? But we need to determine that we're not going to let this season, with everybody that's under such pressure, try to buy things that some of them would do well not to put all that on the credit card and be next June getting it paid off. Folks, that's, if I could tell you one thing, don't buy your gifts on the credit. Don't do that. I tell you, it'll rob you of your marriage, your love in your marriage. It'll take away the joy of life. It will cause things to sour on you because of financial pressure. It isn't worth it. So determine that I'm not going to let what somebody else thinks and how they act get me out of sorts with the Lord. I'm going to be sure that this is a time for spiritual growth, and I'm going to give myself to what it takes to grow spiritually. Let me ask you a question. This may sound a little humorous. I don't mean for it to. But I want you to suppose that one of you, this will be what's humorous, one of you say to yourself, you know, I just really need to be sure that during December I gain weight. It's just important to me that in December I gain weight. What's something you might do if you really wanted to gain weight in December? You'd put your favorite restaurants on speed dial, wouldn't you? You'd eat extra, wouldn't you? Well, if you're going to gain some spiritual depth and weight, wouldn't you want to take in more? Be sure that I read my Bible every day. Never mind, we ought to anyway, but we're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to think about this during the day. If the pressure gets heavy, I'm going to pause long enough to say, now, Lord, I can see where I'm kind of getting little off track here. Lord, get me back on track. I want to get my mind back where it needs to be and not let this bother me. Determined to make Christmas a time of spiritual growth. And lastly, keep a thankful heart in what you do. Keep a thankful heart. I'm going to make a confession that's terrible. My wife and I just celebrated 41 years. I never gave her a card. She never gave me a card. It was another day in our lives. Just another day. I'm probably going to give you more information you ever wanted to know. I can't even tell you standing here if I even kissed her on our anniversary. Isn't that awful? You know why? Our marriage does not consist of one day on a calendar. And all this other stuff is coming just as soon as we get time to get our breath. One of these days, unknown to her, she's not going to know that I'm hiding. She's going to come around the door. I'm going to attack her like a football player. Three of you jump completely out of your seat. And I'm going to say to her what I said to the children when they were little. I'd take them in my arms to hug them and say, I'm going to bite your ears off. And I'd just kiss all around them. And one of these days I'll do that. Why? Because the essence of marriage is not about a day. It's not about a particular card. And how dare I would think there was anything to complain about that I didn't get a card from her, even had I given her a card, when I consider that in 41 years she's given me more and done more for me than I could live another lifetime to thank her for. Now, folks, when I consider all the Lord has done for me in this Thanksgiving in this Christmas season, I need to stay on track and be thankful in all the things that I'm involved with. Give thanks to God. You say, Pastor, there's such pressure. You know who won't have that? Y'all may want to think about an application when I tell you this. You know who this Christmas season is not going to have a bit of pressure to their job? The unemployed. Would you like that? I wouldn't want to be unemployed. I'd want to have something to do just to fulfill and be of use. And then making some money doesn't hurt anything, does it? Sometimes, folks, we complain about things that if that wasn't in our life, we'd be a lot worse off. So stay thankful in all that you do. A thankful heart is a merry heart. A thankful heart generally is a heart that is grateful to God for His blessing and grateful for what others mean to you. Do you work beside some people and they at times have been an encouragement to you? They at times have sought to help you? They've made themselves available to you? Be thankful for that. Have you, in working beside them, encouraged them? Have you sought to be helpful to them? Do you have people that cut your lawn? Do you have people that do whatever? Have you expressed gratitude? Are you a thankful person? Stay on track at Christmas, because Christmas, not primarily about wreaths or lights or trees, though I think they're beautiful, not really about poinsettias, though they're gorgeous. Christmas is about the Christ. Emmanuel, folks, God with us. God has come to dwell amidst the human race. And when God came in the form of human flesh, a name was given Him that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee one day is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He truly is Lord. And that's going to happen for the glory of God the Father. Since that day is coming, let's start making that happen right now as we go into this Christmas season, and let's stay on track. Would you bow with me? Our Father, on this Sunday evening, we are mindful that almost at an unexpected moment, the enemy has laid a trap, and that person who we didn't think would be unreasonable has said something that may be harsh or sarcastic or cold or been indifferent. And before we know it, we have not been on our game of giving vigilance to our walk with You. And we in an instant can become what those people are by letting them get us off track in our thinking. Bless, Lord, this people, and may during this Christmas season, the people who are affiliated with and members of and attend the Morningside Baptist Church, may they be some of the most dynamic witnesses of the Christ, of the gospel, and the gospel of Christ that this city has ever had. Bless them and use them and fill them, and grant them, O God, peace because of the Prince of Peace who lives inside their hearts. Help us to have sensitivities and give us perception. And may, Lord, when the Christmas season has come and gone, may it be that this has been a time of spiritual growth. Bless your people in these moments of commitment. Save any that are lost and strengthen every child of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our hymn of response, invitation, commitment, time of prayer. Would you stand, please?